Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and once more it is my pleasure, as the Minute Waltz fades away, to introduce to you the four exciting personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And we welcome back Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, and Paul Merton. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits the producer secretary, Anne Ling, who has a stopwatch in one hand and a whistle in the other. She tells us how many seconds are going and blows the whistle when 60 of them have passed. And I also have in front of me all the subjects, and I'm going to ask our contestants, as usual, if they can speak on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Derek, the subject is selling by telephone. Would you try and talk on that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, the first time that anyone tried to sell anything to me by telephone was a number of years ago. They rang one morning, bring, and another one, and I answered and they said, "This is the Arthur Murray School of Dancing. You have won a prize of a free lesson. We will teach you how to tango, quickstep, foxtrot, waltz, paso doble."
And Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
It's giving by telephone.
Giving.
You only got one free lesson, then you had to buy all the others. That was the point.
Well, we've been at it for a long time.
I think it was a lovely challenge, Clement, but I still think that Derek wasn't actually deviating from the subject because they were trying to put something over which could be interpreted as selling. So, Derek, you have the benefit of the doubt. You'll keep the subject, get a point for an incorrect challenge, and continue with 37 seconds left, starting now.
Sitting in the Siam Intercontinental Hotel in Rama 2 Road in Bangkok, the phone rang one day, and a girl said...
Paul Merton has challenged.
Repetition? A phone?
Yes, phone, yes, right, because the word on the card... You can repeat the words on the card in case there's some people who have never heard the show before. But the word is telephone on the card, not phone, and you repeat it there, Derek.
All right, I accept it. I'm not going to go back.
But I must explain to the listeners, they sometimes look at me with such daggers as if trying to bluff me out of it and say, "You're talking rubbish, Parsons." Sometimes I do talk rubbish, but that's all in the part of the game.
The trouble is, you see, you're in the springtime of your senility.
But it does take someone like you to recognise it, doesn't it, Derek? Paul, you have a correct challenge, so you take a point for that and the subject. There are 30 seconds left on selling by telephone, starting now.
Of course, one of the things you can sell by telephone is yourself. You can put over a distinctive point of view and create a characteristic in the people's minds who happen to be on the other end of the telephone listening to you. British Telecom have recently issued a number of guidelines. If you want to sound very powerful, they suggest you stand up when you're making a telephone call. They suggest also...
And Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of suggest.
You've suggested too much.
Yes.
And Derek has got in very cleverly with 5 seconds to go on selling by telephone, starting now.
They too try to entice young people to sell insurance by telephone. Companies...
Whoever is speaking as the whistle is blown gains an extra point, and on this occasion it was Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. Will you begin the next round? The subject is diet fads. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Nicholas, I wonder whether, on a point of information, I've just written down diet fads and find it's an anagram of dead fist. If I repeated a clenched hand which had lost his life, would that be okay, because it's the same as diet fads? But if you want to say no, diet fads are pretty pointless, stupid things. Like all fads, they bear no relationship to sanity or to intelligence. I know someone...
Derek Nimmo's challenged.
On a point of order, obviously on a point of order.
I was waiting for someone who was going to challenge for deviation. I'm still trying to work out this dead fish from it.
Yes.
Oh, I see now. Yes, it is dead fish. Well, it took me so long.
Am I going too fast for you, Nick? Yes.
No, I just love giving you a good cue so you can get laughs. You have the benefit of the doubt this time, Clement, and you get a point for an incorrect challenge, and you keep Diet Fads with 28 seconds to go, starting now.
It is very odd that at one point Diet Fads included not eating anything which was likely to poison you or kill you or lay you low, and no one could have a soft-boiled egg or a fish. Today it is the wrapping, which is meant to be very bad for you. If you eat cardboard or cling foil or tin foil, it's incredibly evil and your life is shortened amazingly. I think biscuits and white wine, drunk and eaten alternatively.
Clement Croy began with the subject and also finished with it in spite of being interrupted, and he got an extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now in second place behind Derek Nimmo, then Paul Merton, and then Peter Jones. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is verse. Will you tell us something about verse in 60 seconds if you can, starting now?
Verse, of course, is an anagram of serve. There was a young lady from Ealing who boarded a bus to Darjeeling. It said on the door, don't spit on the floor, so she climbed up and spat on the ceiling. That is a particular kind of verse, that is, a limerick. There are many other forms of verse, there are stanzas, there are many...
And Clement Croy challenge.
Repetition of there are.
There are, yes. So verse is with you now, Clement. And 36 seconds starting now.
It is uplifting to notice that at one time, like when I was young, a verse meant... If one line ended with love, the next was likely to finish with glove. But that is no longer so. You now get moon rhyming with blue stocking or fly.
Paul Merton is challenged.
Deviation. You can't make moon rhyme with blue stocking.
No. They may try, but it doesn't actually rhyme. So you're quite correct. That is a correct challenge, Paul. So you take the subject back. Get a point for that. 17 seconds on verse starting now.
I was taught poetry at school, an appreciation of poetry, I should say.
And Derek Nimmo challenge first.
Repetition of poetry.
Yes, and it's verse that's on the card.
Yes.
So, Derek, you have a point in the subject, and 13 seconds on verse starting now.
Dirty British coaster with a salt cake smokestack butting down the channel in the mad March day.
With a Clement Croy challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
I've heard it before.
So give Clement Freud a bonus point, because we all enjoy the challenge. But as Derek wasn't deviating, he has 4 seconds to continue on verse starting now.
Corinthians chapter 1, verse.
Peter Jones, Peter, lovely to hear from you.
Well, I was fascinated, but it didn't come from the Bible, that verse.
No,
I know
it didn't.
Corinthians fairly thoroughly, and now it's not anywhere in it.
Isn't it? So what is your challenge?
Deviation.
Well, Peter, as we haven't heard from you and we're 5 minutes into the show, I'm sure you must be an absolutely correct challenge. And you have 1 second, very brilliant of you, to get in on verse starting now.
It rhymes.
Jones was then attempting to speak when the whistle went. Gained an extra point. He's now equal with Paul Merton in third place. Peter, your turn to begin. Would you talk on putting up a shelf? I don't know whether you ever have. I don't know whether you are much of a handyman. But tell us something about it, if you can, in just a minute, starting now.
Well, the first thing to do is to measure the place where you want to put it. If it's an alcove, be sure to get the right distance between each side. Otherwise, the shelf will either be too long or not quite short enough.
We get some wonderful attempts at English. The trouble is that so many people around the world listen to it, and I've been told they model their knowledge of the language on our show, which is very disturbing. Derek Nimmo, you challenged first.
It's not quite short enough.
And you... No, it wasn't hesitation. It was a lot of deviation. No. I think that...
Be browbeaten by him all the time.
It's better than being browbeaten by you, I would have thought. Peter, you continue with 46 seconds on putting up a shelf, starting now.
Yes, well...
oh, Derek Nimmer, you chant.
Repetition of well.
Yes. And, right, 45 seconds for you, Derek, on putting up a shelf, starting
when
now.
When you get out your Black and Decker drill and some raw plugs, you bash into the wall, you bung those things into it, and then you get some planks and put them on top of those angle irons which so effectively hold it solidly and rigidly against the stone masonry, and then on to the top of it, when you put up your shelf, you put jars of marmalade, tins of fish, every ladder of...
What's the matter? And Peter Jones is coming.
Well, he's giving us an inventory of what he's going to put on the shelf once he's put it up.
Absolutely.
Which has nothing to do with it. Deviation.
That's not putting up a shelf, it's what you stack on it. Well challenged, Peter. 20 seconds for you, which you, the subject you don't want. Putting up a shelf, starting now.
Well, I was...
Derek has challenged you again, and I think I know...
Repetition of well, he
yes,
always
Yes, I know.
He started with well for 24 years.
I know,
and
it
I'm
does...
still here.
No.
So obviously, something's working.
I'm sorry, but you have said that. So, Derek, you're back with putting up a shelf. 19 seconds, starting now.
You can buy kind of metal ladders, which you put hooks into, and then...
Clement Freud challenge.
Can't put hooks in metal ladders.
Yes, no. There are special ladders, little holes to go. You put these little hooks in them that hold the planks on. You may not have done it yourself. You're no good at handiwork, Freud.
I don't describe them as ladders. No, I think, Clement, you have a correct challenge in 14 seconds on putting up a shelf.
Described in a do-it-yourself shop in Australia.
They're called ladders. Oh,
yeah.
I do have the authority to ask the audience to leave, you know. I will always be fair. I always try to be fair. I will always bow to the superior judgment of the audience. You think these things are called metal ladders, are they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, it was before my time, obviously.
After your time.
All right, I will put... If you agree with what Derek said, you cheer for him, and if you disagree, you boo, and that is for Clement. So all do it together now.
Boo.
Derek, you have the benefit of the audience's doubt. And you keep the subject. Another point. 14 seconds. Putting up a shelf. Starting now.
I've looked through Chippendale's directory for instructions on how to put up a shelf. He has wonderful designs for them, but no actual rules for fixing them to any kind of wall or...
So Derek Nimmo was speaking then as the whistle went and has increased his lead at the end of that round, having gained one or two points, including one for speaking after 60 seconds. And Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is adders. Just a minute, starting now.
One of my favourite kinds of an adder is an abacus. And I was in the Friendship store in Ho Chi Minh Avenue, which leads into Tiananmen Square, last week. And there, every assistant was using this particular variety of adder, which consists of little metal balls on wires, and very rapidly they move them up and down. Now, a snake, which is an adder, is a very venomous creature, a viper, in fact, unless, of course, perhaps if it's a puff adder, and perhaps they have different inclinations, I don't know.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Two perhapses.
Clement, you have the subject for 27 seconds on adders, starting now.
Difficult not to notice that adders is the same as sadder if you reverse the S and put it at the beginning. Anagrams appear to be very popular in setting subjects in just a minute. I don't like adders.
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Whatever subject we've got, does he start talking about the Times crossword? Why do we have to go doing anagrams all the time?
So what is your challenge?
Deviation.
Yes, because he's talking about anagrams and not about adders. Yes, I agree with Derek. So, 13 seconds are left on adders with you, starting now.
A pocket calculator is a very good form of adder. And without one, I don't think I would be able to negotiate the world.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, he did stumble there, Peter. So you have a hesitation and 5 seconds to tell us something about adders, starting now.
I've been told that they're not dangerous unless you annoy them. I did hear of someone...
Paul Merton challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Pocket calculators aren't dangerous at all.
Yeah. give Paul a bonus point because we enjoyed the challenge, and Peter gets one for being interrupted because he didn't establish what he was talking about, but we assumed it was vipers, and the subject is still with you. Adders, and a half a second to go, Peter, starting now.
Unless you annoy them.
So Peter Jones was then speaking again as the whistle went, gained another point, and at the end of that round, Peter has leapt dramatically forward. Derek Nimmer still in the lead, but then it is Peter Jones, and then Clement Freud, and then Paul Merton in that order. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is swashbuckling.
Swash is the sound made by the lapping of water, and buckling is a smoked herring, usually from Lowestoft or thereabouts. And for some extraordinary reason, a swashbuckler is someone who is a bully and a grandiose, swaggering, unpleasant, nasty, usually sword-bearing man who does unkind things to people smaller or more timid than he. Among famous swashbuckling practitioners in history are those who have taken from the rich and given to the poor, usually their wives and children, and those on trains between York and London who played games when they might have eaten sandwiches, which is a rotten thing to do on British rail.
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
He's just trying to advertise the fact that he makes the sandwiches for British rail. And while we're on this point, he
I
has for years...
I thought he'd want to keep quiet about that.
No, they're very good sandwiches, but it's just a matter of interest to show you what a sort of hypocrite he is. For years and years, he's refused to give anyone an autograph. But every single one of his sandwiches on British Rail is signed.
I get up very early every morning and do those.
Derek, I disagree with your challenge, but you get a point because we enjoyed
it. What was my challenge?
I don't know, but everybody enjoyed it. And I'm being very generous in giving you a bonus point, but Clement gets one for being interrupted. Keeps the subject of swashbuckling starting now.
Many people think that a swash...
Derek Nimmer.
Representation of people.
Yes, you did talk about people before. Yes. Don't look like that, Clement, because I was listening. Derek has the subject. 7 seconds on swashbuckling starting now.
Well, swash was the name given by a sword as it actually tapped upon the buckle, which was a shield. In the same way that...
So, Derek Nimmo again spoke as the whistle went, got an extra point, and others in the round has increased his lead. And Paul Merton, your turn to begin. The subject is quacks. Can you tell us something on that subject in 60 seconds, starting now?
People who are not properly qualified to practice medicine are often described as quacks. Quack doctors, in fact. Now, there are several stories within the National Health Service of people pretending to be medical practitioners who have donned white coats and have duped various patients and other members of staff into thinking that they hold the appropriate examination qualifications. But they have often been found out after several years, and some have even been discovered to be better than the actual doctors that they are replacing. There was a man in Lowestoft, in fact, who had his right leg removed by an individual who turned out to be a plumber who had just come in to fix the radiators. This kind of malpractice is very common, more than you might think. Let me go into some detail over this one. The way I see it is, it's a noise that a duck makes as well, incidentally, which attracts other members of this particular species to the notion that there is a bird of the same kind in the immediate vicinity. Now, this is the longest minute, but...
It was a long minute, actually. It was 95 seconds. But the audience were enjoying it so much, Paul. We were very wicked and rather evil and let you go on and struggling away there. And though you were challenged for repeating yourself once or twice or pausing, we ignored it because we enjoyed it so much. You started with a subject, you finished with a subject, 1 minute and 35 seconds later, and you get not only a spoiling for speaking when the whistle went, but a bonus point for not being interrupted, or for me not lying with the interruptions. And you're still in fourth place. but you're very close to Clement Freud, only one behind him. And, Peter, it's your turn to begin. Chambers. Can you tell us something about chambers, personal or the reading kind, or whichever you like, starting now?
Chambers is a wonderful encyclopedia. I can't really speak too highly of it. I'd like to go on talking about it long enough to be sent a complimentary copy. I will begin by saying it contains geographical information, and biographical, of course. Several well-known people's names occur in it. Nicholas Parsons, I don't think, is in it, but that wouldn't really put me off having it. And I'd be very pleased to let the other members of the panel come to my house and look anything up if they wanted to. So I do feel that, I should be expecting it Tuesday morning first. There's any justice at all. There aren't any other books of this nature that are entirely British. And,
Very name a chance.
Well, quite a lot of them, really, but I chose the last one to challenge on.
Because that was the longest one, right. Derek, there are 11 seconds left on chambers with you, starting now.
The chamber is the part of the gun into which you put the cartridge or bullet before you fire it. You turn it round and then shoot. Cambridge of Commerce is not quite the word I meant to say, which is Chamber of Commerce.
Paul Button challenged you before you went on. Paul?
Deviation.
Yes, indeed. Deviation from English and other things as well. And you got in very cleverly with half a second to go on Chambers, Paul, starting now.
Chambers?
So at the end of that round, Paul Merton has moved forward into second place alongside Peter Jones. Derek Nimmo's out in the lead. Clement Freud's one behind the two in second place, and Derek, your turn to begin. The subject is muddle. Can you tell us something about muddle?
Well, muddle's quite often what I get myself into when I play this game, because I tend to stutter, have a speech impediment, people leap and bop, wasn't
it? And Paul Merton challenged.
His speech impediment came rushing to the fore.
That's right, yes.
Hesitation.
55 seconds left on muddle, Paul, starting now.
Muddle is a very tiny village in Shropshire. It has a population...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
No, it isn't. I come from Shropshire, and it doesn't.
It's very tiny. You could easily overlook it.
Middle. There's a middle.
There's not a muddle.
No.
You've just made enemies of the people of muddle, I can tell you that.
Well, if it's so small, it doesn't really matter.
So, there we are. We'll risk it and say, Peter, a correct challenge. 50 seconds on muddle, starting now.
Well, it's a state of mind that I've really been in ever since I can remember. And I find it fairly comfortable. I don't like making decisions and deciding on certain ways in which I shall deal with things. I prefer to postpone them and say, well, I don't really know. In fact, I am one of that party. 17%, say, of the people who are questioned give this reply. And I think that...
no challenge.
Well, I chose that particular hour again.
You let a few go, and then you came in. 24 seconds left on Muddle, Derek, starting now.
I think perhaps because I'm getting older and more enfeebled, I do become more muddled as the days pass by, partly due to my wife, who goes out of her way to drive me balmy. The extraordinary thing about women is they never get ulcers, but they're carriers. And I, because of this great muddle to which she is referring,
Derek seemed to strike a chord there, and he got a response from the women as well as the men in the audience. And he increased his lead because he was also speaking as the whistle went. And, Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject, the Taj Mahal. Will you tell us something about that magnificent edifice starting now?
That magnificent edifice starting now is a white marble mausoleum at Agra in India, for which reason it's odd when you consider how many restaurants bear that same name. I went to the Taj Mahal in Tooting, and I would quite particularly like to recommend number 6, number 11, 24, 37, 48, and advise you to avoid anything over 80, which tends to be sweet and sticky. The Taj Mahal is genuinely one of the most sensationally beautiful buildings in the entire world. And when people denigrate Disney World or other places like that because everyone goes there, I would like to plead for an exception to be made for the Taj Mahal, which is just so staggeringly lovely that if Air India is listening to this...
On this occasion, Clement Roy took the subject and finished with it without hesitation, repetition, or deviation, and was not interrupted, of course, so he not only gets a point for speaking as the whistle went, but a bonus point for no interruptions. And at the end of that round, Peter Jones, Paul Merton, and Clement Freud are all equal in second place behind our leader, who is still Derek Nimmo. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject, keys. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I have a key ring in my pocket that contains several keys. There is the key to the garden shed, there the key to my front door. There are many forms of keys as well in other aspects of life. For example, to open a tin of sardines, you sometimes need a particular key.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Well, it's the plural on the card.
That's
and
right.
Exactly what I was challenged for.
Is the singular.
The singular.
Well done, Derek.
He says a little naughty challenge, which was done to me earlier on. So I'm just getting my own back.
Which you don't need to, as you always have twice as many points, but it doesn't really matter. But he did repeat the word key, and keys is on the card. So, Derek, you have 43 seconds to talk on the subject, starting now.
And
Paul Merton challenged.
Hesitation.
Well done, Paul. You have 42 seconds on the key, starting now.
Just about...
Derek Nimmo.
Hesitation.
Nothing. Paul, you have another point for an incorrect challenge. And you have the subject of keys and 41 seconds starting now.
Just outside Muddle is an even tinier town called Keys. Now, the residents of this particular town...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Two towns.
Two towns there, yes. Clement, you have keys and 35 seconds starting now.
Cecil Parkinson is the sort of name that springs to mind, which should never...
And then Clement said two words and then paused. And
I challenged myself for bad taste.
And what is your challenge, Clement?
Bad taste.
Yes. Well, you get a point for that. It was bad taste. So 23 seconds to talk on keys starting now.
There is an island off the west coast of Scotland called Skye, which is an anagram of keys. I know that people really wanted to know that. I have a bunch of keys in my pocket, just like my friend Paul Merton sitting on my right, in which I have the keys to several garages, many houses, a number of flats.
And Derek Nimmo challenged.
Bad taste, showing off.
All right, we say touche, Derek, can give you a bonus point for the challenge which we enjoyed. But Clement also, as he wasn't, strictly speaking, deviating, but he keeps the subject, another point to Clement Freud, and we're in the last round now, and the subject is still keys, and there are 3 seconds, Clement, starting now.
But the keys I like best are the ones to my front door.
As I indicated just then, that was the last round of this edition of Just a Minute. Peter Jones was 2 points behind Paul Merton, who was 2 points behind Clement Freud, but he was 6 points behind this week's winner, the one we adjudged to be out in front, the winner, Derek Nimmo. It only remains for me to thank our 4 panellists, also Anne Ling, who's kept the score so well and blown her whistle so admirably, also the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, and our producer, Edward Taylor, and me, Nicholas Parsons. From all of us here, goodbye. ¶¶